Now we're holding on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Mishnah says Mishnah chay b'shtei misses based in. A person is chay of two misses based in. Now you could be talking about that he did one aveira that gets him two. Well, so no, one aveira that's two misses. That's going to be the next case in the Mishnah. So here you're talking about a person, for example, was mechal al Shabbos, and later on he killed someone. Let's say. So Nidin Machamura, then he gets punished with the more severe one between the two of them. The Gemara is going to point out what the chiddush of that is. Another din, Over Averish Neschaiv Shtei Nisus. What if within the same Avera there are two different Nisus? So for example, let's say he has relations with his mother-in-law while she's still married. So now you have, as his mother-in-law, there's Srefa, and as a married woman, there's Chenek. So then, Nidin Machamura, so then also he gets punished with the more severe one. So in this case, it would be Srefa. Rabbi Yossi says no. Nidin bezika harishonish ba'olav. He gets punished with the first zika that came on him. Now in Hilchos Yevama, in Masechta Yevamos, we use the word zika a lot to mean the connection between the Yevama and the Yavam that has to be satisfied with either chalitza or yibum. But more generally, the word zika means something, a requirement. So the first requirement that came on him, meaning the Gemara is going to explain, in other words, say, for example, let's say, again, with his mother-in-law as a married woman, you could have where first she was married, and then he married her, and then while she's still married, he married her daughter. Well, then, in that case, she was also to him as an Eshes Ish before he ever married her daughter. Versus if he married her daughter when she was a widow or a divorcee, then the first Isser that came to him was the Isser of his mother-in-law, so and only later on she got remarried. So we're going to talk about that at the bottom of the Amud. Okay. So the Gemara says in the first case of the Mishnah, you're saying that if he did two Averis, then he's chayav, then we give him the more severe punishment. The Gemara asks Pshita, well, obviously, Ela it guri it gur. What do you say? He gains, he was machal Shabbos, so he's chayav skila. Now you're going to tell me he killed somebody, which is hereg. What do you think? You're going to say because he did a second Avera, therefore he should gain, and now he doesn't get skila, and instead he's going to get the second punishment. Why does the Mishnah even need to tell us that? So the answer is Omar Rava, Hoch of Mayaskin, in the case the Mishnah is talking about, over Avera Kala. Suppose first he did the lesser Avera. So say, for example, first he killed somebody, which is Hereg, Venigma Dini al Avera Kala, and he was convicted for that, and now he's supposed to be executed for that light one. V'chozav over Avera Chamura, and now, before they had a chance to execute him, then he went and did a more serious Avera. Say, for example, breaking Shabbos. So now you would think, given the nigma din la avera kala, once he was already judged and convicted for the lesser avera, you could argue, hi gabrik tilahu, this person is in effect is already considered like a dead man walking. So how can you be now mechayev him for a second misas based in as well? So therefore, Kamash 1, therefore the Mishnah is telling us that no, that's not an issue, and you do in fact judge him again and convict him for the second Avera, and then he's going to get the more severe punishment. No, it's not a matter of Mr. Yoffa, because there's no question he broke Shabbos. But the point is, we would say, on the face of it, once he's already chay of Misa with Hereg for the killing somebody, then maybe at this point, we can't really judge him in Beis Din anymore for a second case. Now, Tosfos actually brings up an interesting point. We learned previously that Eidos, for it to be valid, has to be Eidos she'ata yochol lahazima. It has to be that it's possible to be mazim the Eidim. Namely, in other words, that it should be possible for other Edim to come and say you were with us someplace else and therefore make the first Edim Zomen. Now, we talked about the other day, for example, we had the case where the person who did the Avera is a Trefa. So we said then there's an issue because then even if the Edim turn out to be Zomen, we can't punish them with the punishment they would have given him because in effect he's already a dead man walking because he's a Trefa and he's going to die soon from whatever lesion or whatever he has. Well, by the same token, over here, then, if this person has already been convicted and is already going to be executed, then what's the case? Then why should we accept a second Eidos against him? Shouldn't we consider it Eidos Shiyata Yochol Azima? So Tosfos first answers that, let's say, you could be talking about... You could be talking about that that he did the second Aveira in front of Beis Din. Now, we talked about in that connection the other day that, that for example, if a Treifa kills in the presence of Beis Din, then Beis Din can kill him, because even though there's no Eidos, because then they have a mitzvah over the Auto Aroma Kibacha to get rid of evil from your midst, meaning, in other words, in that case, we don't need Eidim because they themselves saw it. So that's one possibility over here. We can be talking about, again, this guy killed somebody, which meant they convicted him, and he's chayav hedeg, and then in the presence of Beis Din, he was, let's say, mechalal Shabbos, or worshipped Avodah Zarah, or what have you. And now, we don't have to worry about that it's Eidos Shiyata Yochel Azima, because there's no Eidos at all. Second of all, Tosfos says, consider, after all, yes, he was convicted on the first charge of killing, for example. But at that point, it still would be possible for Eidim to come and contradict or mimazim those Eidim. So therefore, so in that case, we can't completely consider him a gavra ktila at this point, to the extent where we shouldn't say that now he did a second aveda and we can't bring him to Beis Din and judge him again for the second one. It is Eidos Shiyata Yochel Azima, because conceivably you could have that at some point before they ended up executing him for the first thing, Eidim might come and then be machish or be mazim, contradict or impeach the first Eidim, and then in that case, then it turns out that he was never a gavra ktila in the first place.
It's after the Gemara did.
After, the whole point is, when we're going to learn in Masechta Makos, Bez Hashem, when is it that the Eidim Zomim are punished? Is Davka when it's after Gemara Din and before the person is actually executed? So that's Tosfos the second answer over here, that yeah, it was after Gemara Din for the killing, but nevertheless, before they actually carry out the verdict, it's also possible that somebody, that other Eidim, will come and be machish or be mazim those Eidim, and then therefore, so now, even before that's happened, we still have a basis for saying that we should be able to listen to a second Eidos against him, that he was machal Shabbos or what have you. There are a few other answers as well. The Aruch HaNer points out, whatever the Tosfos could have given a very obvious answer, we're talking about the Eidim for the first thing and the second thing are the same Eidim, and they happen one after the other. So they're going to say, for example, they brought him to Beis Din saying that we saw him about to kill somebody and we gave him Asura and told him not to do it, and he said, I'm doing it anyway, and he went and did it. And then shortly after that, he worshipped Avodah Zarah, and we saw that also. Well, then obviously, if we're going to be mazim them for the first thing, we're mazim them for the second thing as well. But the Aruch HaNer says that the fact that Rava says that Nigma Dine Alavera Kala Vachoz of Ora Avera Chamura suggests that you can't say that. If it was that it happened, the two things happened back to back, and it's the same set of Eidim, then they would say it one after the other in Beis Din. There'd be no reason to wait until he's convicted and then say, oh, by the way, Beis Din also, this guy was Mechal Shabbos right after that. So therefore, the Aruch HaNer says that you can't do that. Then you have the Margolius Sagan makes a different point as well, that maybe you could say there's a case, for example, where we say, we learned about this earlier in the Masechta, where the Eidim can say, we weren't intending for him to get Misa, we were just intending for him to get some other punishment, and that can be valid, and then we don't necessarily, we still judge them as Eidim Zimmin, but not necessarily with the harsher punishment. But again, he says it doesn't really work with Tosfos' wording over here.
Yeah, that's why it would be the same, wouldn't it?
Well, no, it's different Averis, so we need different Asuras.
But they said we intended to...
Right. So the examples that we had for that are, let's say, for example, you have one set of Eidim comes and says, as Gemara mentions, talks about, let's say, for example, you have with a Ben Sotter murder, where the first time he's brought to Beis Din, he gets Malkus, and only the second time, if he repeats the actions again, then he gets Misa. So now, if Eidim, you have Eidim Zimmin about Ben Sotter murder, for example, they can claim we weren't intending to get him executed, we were only intending, we didn't know that there were Eidim before, they can claim we didn't know there were Eidim before us, who said he already did it once, and then he got Malkus, we thought we were the first ones, and we're only coming to give him Malkus. You have examples like that. There's other examples like that in Dinin Mominus and in Dinin Nefashis, where you have there's a process over there. You have as far as a Shur Tam versus Muad. There's a few other examples like that. So the Gemara goes on. Bamine Avur de Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama Merava Bar Nosson. The father of Rabbi, the father on the side over here, maybe it says the Gersa is supposed to be the brother or whatever, anyway, of Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama asked Rabbi Bar Nosson. So he asks him, Minoham milsa d'amar rabbanan. Where is this? Where do we get this point that we said in the Mishnah, Mishnah is chayiv shteinus is based in nidum nachamora, that when he does two things that are chayiv misses based in, that he gets the second one, then he gets the more stringent one. Maybe we should say the Gemara had brought up the svara that maybe we should say gabra ktila kotil, gabra that is a gariya gabra ktila. So and we said the Mishnah is telling us that not. Well, where does the Tana of the Mishnah himself get it from? So the answer is dichti. You have a pasuk in Yechezkel that goes as follows. The context of these pasukim here, the Gemara is going to be after it davshins some one pasuk that's relevant to this. The Gemara is going to go on to davshin some other pasukim from that section as well. This is Perek Yudches of Yechezkel. He's dealing with the fact Jews in his times are wondering. They're saying, wait a minute. For hundreds of years, the Nevi'im have been telling us that people that have been telling our ancestors they're worshiping Avodah Zarah and doing other Averas, and Hashem is going to punish them. Nothing ever happened in their lifetimes. Now you're telling us, Yechezkel, he was giving Nevuah within the few years before the Korban, that in our lifetimes, this is going to happen. Why? We're not any worse than they were, so it doesn't mean that Hashem is just taking all the averus of theirs and putting them on our heads. So Yechezkel gives them a long nevuah to explain that it's not so. Basically, Hashem judges each person individually. There is the concept but there's more to it than that. Basically, in other words, Yechezkel is telling them, look, if you had been tzaddikim, the Eibishter wouldn't hold against you the averus of your ancestors. And he goes and gives an extended metaphor, an extended example over there. He talks about a person who's a tzaddik, and then he has a son who's a rasha, and then that rasha eventually has a son who's a tzaddik. Now, the point is, in other words, that the Rasha doesn't get saved by the schusim of his father, and the tzaddik, the grandson, doesn't get punished because of the rishus of his father. Later on in Perek Chelek, we're going to talk about that a son can give schus to his father. So Yechezkel doesn't go through that point over there. It is possible that the Rasha, the middle generation over there, can get schusim for that his son is a tzaddik and does things that Ilu Nishmasai, but he's not getting into that level of detail. But anyway. So Yechezkel describes.
You didn't explain. So what's the metaphor helping that? Why does?
So the point is, Yechezkel. So that's the point. Yechezkel is saying that look, you shouldn't think, for example, that grandson is going to be punished because of his father's avedus, because he saw his father's avedus and he dafka did differently. He didn't do those avedus, so therefore Hashem's not going to punish him for his father's avedus. The same way
Yechezkel. Punished.
The father was punished. Maybe he was in this world. Maybe he was in the next world. But the point is that the punishment is not going to go to his son. The same way Yechezkel was telling the people of his times, you shouldn't think that it's only your decent people and just Hashem is taking it out on you for your ancestors. No, if you'd have done what you're supposed to, then yeah. So he describes as follows. V'hoilid bein poritz shoifich dom, the pasuk describes that the father, the tzaddik, has a son who is a poritz, who is a Moloshan poritz, in other words, he breaks through all boundaries. We don't mean a poritz like the ones in all the stories from Poland, but anyway. Shoifech dam, of somebody who sheds blood, for grammar. And the pasuk describes some of the avedas that he does. Elohorim ochal, he ate on the mountains, which means, in other words, we find in many places in Tanakh that they made a special thing of worshipping Avodah Zarah on the mountains. Elohorim aram v'alagvoy, so therefore, so eating on the mountains is a way of saying he ate at picnics and all of Avodah Zarah Korbanos. There's Eshes Re'ehu Timei, and he defiled his neighbor's wife. He was Mizana with an Eshes Ish. Ve'la Gilulim Nosa Einav, and then he lifted up his eye, and he lifted up his eyes to the idols, meaning that he paid attention to the idols and worshipped them. So let's go through these things. V'hoved ben poritz shreifach dom. The first Avera that we're saying that he did was he was shreifach dom. That means b'sayif. At that point, he would be chayif sayif for that. As Eishes Re'ehu Timei, he was Mizana with an Eishes Ish, Zu Eishes Ish, B'chenek. That means exactly that, an Eishes Ish. And that would get him B'chenek. Ve'la Gilulim Nosa Einav. Then the pasuk continues that he lifted up his eyes and paid attention to and worshipped Geshkes. So that means Zu Avodas Kochavim. So that means that he worshipped Avodah Zarah, the Skila. And for that he gets Skila. So we see Yechezkel is implying, in other words, with that putting the things in that order, that even though he did the lesser averus, we don't at that point say God, that he's a gavra ktila, we still can convict him, also based and can convict him for worshipping Avodah Zarah and give him skila. Uchtib, because the pasuk continues, Mois Yumas, he's put to death, Dom of Boyia, his blood will be in him, which we learned earlier in the Masechta, means the skila, that whenever it says Dom of Boy, Udmehem Bam means skila. So in other words, in the larger context of what Yechezkel is describing is just using this to describe an out-and-out Russia. But the wording that he uses is carefully chosen to imply that based in, if they can convict him of one of these things after the other, they will end up giving him skila. So therefore, so that proves this point. However, Maskifla Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, but Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, is that really solid proof? Ema kulu b'skila. Maybe you could say that actually all of them represent that he's chayav skila. V'hoilet ben paretz shreifach dam means that ben sarer amorda. Means, in other words, the ben paretz shreifach dam refers to that the son is a ben sarer amorda. How so? Because, in other words, so we learned about the ben sarer amorda in the seventh parak, why does the Eibishter upon him, why does the Torah put such a severe punishment for him? Because eventually, if he continues in this way of stealing and eating gluttonously, etc., he's going to end up becoming a shreifach dam, he's going to end up becoming a robber and a ritzeach, and therefore the Torah says, yomos zakai, let him better die while he's still innocent. But he can still be called Shreifach Dam because that's what he's going to become, and because he himself is causing his blood to be spilled by eating in this gluttonous way, which in fact we learned previously on Daf Samach Gimel, that is where does the Torah warn? There has to be, in order for there to be a punishment, there has to be a warning. Where is the warning in the Torah that Ben Sarer Amorda shouldn't do this? Is because the Pasuk says, Lo'yseichlo al Adam, and one of the meanings of that is don't eat in a way that's going to lead to your blood being shed. So therefore, the Ben Paretz Shreifach Dam could refer to that, and Ben Sarer Amorda to Beskila. Well, you get Skila. Eishes Re'ehu Timei Zu Naira HaMarosa. Beskila. Oh, again, Naira HaMarosa also gets Skila, and she's Eishes Re'ehu, after all. So maybe all three of them are referring to his chayiv skila. So when it says dam of bayir, then it just means, in other words, the Yechezkel wants you to know that these three things are chayiv skila. Who says it says anything about different punishments? The answer is, in Kain, my kamash from one Yechezkel. Well, then what's Yechezkel's chiddush? At his time, the Torah had long since been given. People know these halachas already. All right, the question is, so what? Duma Torah Kamahader? Fine, maybe Yechezkel just wants to repeat to the people in his times, he wants to reinforce by them the knowledge of these dinim. The answer is, in Cain, Iboilei Lahadura Kiyehechid Adra Moshe Rabbeinu. In that case, you should repeat it the way that Moshe Rabbeinu does, which means two things. It means, first of all, he can repeat them. It means that he should be repeating them in the same words, for example, that Moshe does. Why is he disguising it behind these words, for example, why is he disguising it behind the words, Ben Paretz Shreifach Dam, and we have to deduce that it means a Ben Sarer Amorda, and the same thing with the other ones. He could say clearly that he's a ben sarer amorda, and he's mezana with a naira marasa, and so forth. He could repeat it in the same order as it is in Chumash Devarim. If he's just repeating the dinim, then he can just be repeating them like that, rather than hinting it like this, and then. So, therefore, we can learn that he is talking about, in fact, three different misses, and that, in fact, we can learn from this, the din, that we said, therefore, that if there's different misses, then he gets the more serious one, yeah. Okay. Since we're talking about that pasuk, so the Gemara digresses to talk about the previous psukim over there. Now, so you have, again, you have the sequences over there. You have the father, the tzaddik. You have the second, you have the son, the rasha. And then you have his grandson. Then you have the grandson, the son of the rasha, who is a tzaddik. So now, when it introduces the tzaddik, the first generation, so it describes him in to a certain extent in the opposite way that it did the rasha, his son. So my dichtiv, the pasuk says, Elahorim loy ochal. So now the pasuk goes like this. The pasuk about the tzaddik goes like this. Elahorim loy ochal. He did not eat on the mountains. The enav loy nosel gilulah beis Yisrael. He didn't lift up his eyes to the idols of that the rest of the Jewish people are worshiping. That's eshes re'ehu loy timei. He never was matameh in somebody else's wife. He was never mazana with somebody else's wife. Vel ishad nida loy yikrav, and never came close to an ishad nida. Now the question that's bothering the Gemara is, he didn't do these serious averus, and that for that you're calling him a tzaddik. So it has to mean that there's something more than meets the eye over here. So Rav Acha Rav Chanina darshins as follows. The horim refers to his ancestors, for one thing, because the word horim is similar to the word horim, which means parents. But also we have the ovos, for example, are often compared to mountains. So he didn't eat in this world in the schus of his ancestors. In other words, he himself is a chosid, so he himself has goodness in this world on his own merits, and not that he has to rely on the schus of his ancestors or on the schus of the ovos. The Ein of Lainoso Gilulei Beis Yisrael, when it continues that he didn't lift up his eyes to the idols of the Jewish people, doesn't just mean that he didn't worship Avodah Zarah, for that he doesn't deserve to be called a tzaddik. It means that he went it means bedakus, shalai holach b'koymas skufa. He never walked with an erect, upright posture, which the Gemara says elsewhere. When a person does that, it means that he's acting in a gaivadik way, and he's saying as if, so to speak, the Shina has no place in his world. So, the Gemara says elsewhere. So, in other words, the Gemara is understanding that each of these phrases in the positive, you have, obviously, there's a blatant Aveda that it could describe, but you also have, like, a finer degree, what we call in Hasidus, Loshen Bedakos, like a vestige, the slightest vestige, the slightest tinge of this kind of thing, that he stays away from that, too.
You say vestige,
team. Like the littlest thing that has, in other words, not the actual gross aveda, but rather like a finer thing that in a way can be related to it. Yeah. So for example, the extreme thing would be actually worshiping Avodah Zarah. The bedakos of it, the first stage would be the holach b'koymas skufa, a person walking with this erect posture and acting as though Hashem is not in the world. That's Eshus Ve'eru Leitime. When it continues, he was never Metame, his friend's wife. That means Shola Yora Ve'umnus Chaveri. He never interfered with, he never went and started a new business to compete with somebody else. That somebody else's, that person's business can be compared to his wife in the sense, like he lives off his business the same way as he lives together with his wife. Here we're talking about not so much as here the pasuk didn't mention his food. Here the pasuk mentioned his wife. But yeah, so what we're saying is, in other words, that a person's parnasa is compared to a woman. So the pasuk says in Kehelas, see life with the woman that you love. And the Gemara in Kiddushin explains that two meanings. It means the Gemara explains that it means living Torah, but it also means Parnasa, and either one of them is being compared to a wife. So we see that Parnasa is compared to a wife. So here we're saying that, in other words, not just he doesn't blatantly go and interfere with the guy's marital life, as in being Mizana with his wife, but he also doesn't even do bedakos to go and take over, to go out to try and interfere with and take over his livelihood. So the Maharal says it a little bit differently. His umnus, his parnasa helps him the same way as his wife helps him. His wife is Eza Kenegdo, and his parnasa is also that kind of thing. When the pasuk says that he doesn't come close to an isha nida, so again you have the gross aveda of actually having relations with a nida, but in a finer sense it means shalainanim mikupa shal tzedakah. He never had hana from the tzedakah pushka. Meaning, in other words, we're talking about a person who is able. He may be poor, but he's struggling, but he's managing to get along without the kupa shal tzedakah, without taking tzedakah. That's compared to a nida in the sense that, for example, a nida is not always osur. Sometimes she's Osir, sometimes she's mutter. The same way, this money, when another person had it, sure, it would be mutter for him to go and do business with somebody or borrow from him or whatever, but now that it's in the Kupa Shal Tzedakah, then he holds himself back and doesn't take it. The Maharsha gives a long arichus over here explaining that the connection between all these things, basically, between all these good middos that we're saying, that Yechezkel was hinting at, is basically he doesn't want to use too much of Olam Hazeh because he wants his complete schar in Olam Haba. And therefore, he's not going to get it. So he doesn't depend on the schus of his ancestors, because, in other words, he would rather rely on his own schusim for whatever he needs in this world. That way, he's not using up some of the schar that he's going to need for Olam Haba. He's having a hard time making ends meet. He could go and take over somebody else's livelihood, but nevertheless, he'd rather be poor rather than do that. And the same thing with the other things. He's going to stay away from a trace of gaiva so he doesn't push away the shechina out of the world. So he doesn't have to use up some of his schar and olam haba in order to fix that up in this world. And the same thing with the kupa shel tzedakah. Maharsha, by the way, goes on with another arichus. He points out, if you look in the Pesukim in Yechezkel, you have another pasuk after that that says other good things that he does as well. The next pasuk continues, the ish lo yoyne, he never cheated anybody, he always returns a mashka, and he mentions a couple of other, Yechezkel goes on to mention a couple of other things, which the Gemara over here doesn't darshan what those phrases mean. So Marsha explains, the gist of his explanation is, the pasuk begins by saying, v'osam mishpat u'tzedakah. It begins by introducing that this person does justice and tzedakah. So therefore, the fact that it mentions chavilosa yoshiv and lo yoneh, etc., that the Gemara is not so bothered about. Okay, so it means, in other words, he's very careful in dinei mominus, so therefore, yeah, that's what it means. And Marashah goes and explains how each one of them is also doing something with pnim mishuras adin, but in any case, for example, the lo yoneh, obviously there's mitzvah in the Torah, not to be ma'ana somebody, but you can have a case, for example, that Marashah mentions, let's say, for example, there's no iser to do a na to a goy, it only applies between one yid and another, but he goes with pnim mishuras adin, and he won't do it to a go either, and he explains the other ones along those lines as well. Anyway, the point is, so the Gemara is not so bothered that it has to douse in those, not kipshutai, because fine, those are mishpat u'tzedakah, but mishpat u'tzedakah on the face of it doesn't include not worshipping Avodah Zarah and not eating at Avodah Zarah picnics and so forth, and therefore that for those kinds of things the Gemara needs to douse in that it means something else.
There's a little very negative thing that's still called on the Tzadis.
That's the thing. I mean, on the one hand, yes, obviously, you know, you have, for example, Yoshev over Avera. The Gemara says a person sits. He has an opportunity to do an Avera, and he holds himself back and doesn't. Then he gets a schar like Oysa Mitzvah. But still, the Gemara is bothered by, and for that, you're going to call him a tzaddik. Okay, call him, he's not a Rosha then, but to call him the Ishki, a tzaddik, the Oysa Mishpat, the Tzedakah, you're going to call him a tzaddik because he doesn't worship Avodah Zarah and he doesn't not mizana with an Eishes Ish or whatever. So therefore, the Gemara wants to see something beyond that. The Maharal makes an interesting point over here. He says that another connection between these three things is a person has to have his own independent shleimus. So, lo yachob is chosav voisav, means in other words that he's a complete person by himself. Otherwise, it means he's dependent on somebody else and therefore he doesn't have his shleimus. That he's complete with Hashem as shaloi halach b'kleim as kufa. So he shows that he has yiras shemayim. And the third thing is that he's complete with other people. That's the ve'eshes u'ei lo timei, and isha nidolo yikrav, that he doesn't... So the ishes to Eloi Timis, Shalai Yorah, but when Usir Shachaveiroi, that he does, he goes the extra mile not to cause any harm to somebody else. So therefore, so he's perfect with himself, with Hashem, and with other people. And then on top of that, Elisha Nidalei Yikrav, that he doesn't do something which would be a gnai and a bizoyan to him. So the Gemara continues, Uchtiv, now that it says all those things, the pasuk continues, after it lists all the good things he does, Tzadik hu choya yichya. Such a person is a tzadik, and he will certainly live. So the Gemara says, Kshahoya Rav Gamliel magia l'mikra azeh hoya boicha. When Rav Gamliel would reach this pasuk, when he would learn this pasuk, he would cry. V'omar, he said, Manda Ovid l'kulu hu d'chaye b'chodem inay oloi. You're telling me that only if a person does all these things that Yechezkel was listing in these psukim, then he deserves to live in Olam Hazeh and Olam Habah, and with one of them not? Amalei Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva answers him, no, not necessarily. Ela me'ata, because consider the pasuk al titamu b'chol eila. The pasuk says, after it lists the arayas, you have 25 or 30 arayas or so, and it says, don't become tummy with all of these. Does that mean a person can't become tummy with all of them, but it's fine if he becomes tummy with one or with some of them? No, of course not. Ela ba'achas mikol eila. The word kol, we had this actually a few days ago in the Gemara, the word kol can mean all, and it can also mean any. So therefore, so Rabbi Akiva is pointing out, when it comes to the arayas, for example, kol doesn't mean all, it means any. Don't become tummy with any of them. Hochanami, but achas mikoleila, the same thing. With this person, even one of these things that he becomes perfect in, then that gets him chaya olam haba. The Rambam, by the way, in fact, points out, you know, we have the Mishnah, Rotsa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'zaka Sisizor, L'fichach Hibolem Torah Mitzvahs. The Rambam explains what the point of that is. Why did the Eibishter give us so many mitzvahs, 613 of them? Because different people are going to, so to speak, specialize in individual mitzvahs. Every person has a Vuchab Mai HaBazor Tvei, every person has a certain affinity to a certain mitzvah. So therefore, the Eibishter gave us hundreds of mitzvahs. That way, every person has an opportunity to become perfect in one particular mitzvah, and that way, with that, he'll be Zoicha Techayu in the Mabah. So now, Rabbi Akiva is telling Rabbi Gamliel in a similar vein. What? Okay, the Mishnah had said two dinim. One that a person is chayiv two mitzvahs based din, meaning that one he did one avera and then another one. That's more. Then he gets the more serious punishment. And then we had the second case of the Mishnah was he did one thing that makes him chayiv two mitzvahs based din. So the Tanakhama had said he gets this more severe punishment. Rabbi Yossi says he gets whichever one comes to him first, which is what we're going to discuss now. So. Of Avera, so the second case of the Mishnah was that a person does an Avera which in and of itself is chai of two things. So Rashi gave an example, let's say that he was Mizana with his mother-in-law while she's married. So now you have, as his mother-in-law, there's Sreifa, and as an Eshes Ish, there's Chenet. So then the Tanakhama says he's going to get Sreifa, and Rabbi Yossi is going to say that he's judged Bezikah Rishonish Abbas Olav, Shabbat Olav, which means, the Gemara explains, Tanya, Ketzer Omer Rav Yossi, Nidin Bezikro Rishona Bar Olav. What does Rav Yossi mean by that? For example, Chamoise Benassis Eishes Ish, if to begin with she was his mother-in-law, and then she became an Eishes Ish, so in other words, he married her daughter when she was a widow or a divorcee. So now, when did she first become also to him? When he married her daughter. Where, afterwards, she also became an Eishes Ish. So then, Nidin B'chamoise, then he gets judged for the fact that she's his mother-in-law, and he gets Sreifa. Chamoise Benassis Eishes Ish, but at first she was an Eishes Ish, and then she became his mother-in-law, so he married her daughter when she's still married to her husband, Nidin B'Eishes Ish. Then Rabbi Yossi says that he gets judged as an Eishes Ish because that came first. And it was basically saying that Ein Isur Chalal Isur. So the Gemara asks why.
He did it once, but that issue itself
involves two different issurim that he was over, or both at once. He was mezana with her, she's an Eishes Ish, and she's his mother-in-law. So the one action involves two different punishments.
Which is the Zika Rishona?
That's the thing. Rabbi Yossi is saying the Zika Rishona is whichever one he was also first because of. Meaning, yeah. So in other words, if she was previously married, then she's already off limits to him because she's an Eishes Ish. Now, on top of that, he marries her daughter, and now she also becomes his mother-in-law. Rabbi Yossi is going to say, though, she was already also to him as an Eishes Ish before. Had he been mezana with her at that point, then he would get chenek. Well, now, the fact that he married her daughter, Rabbi Yossi says he doesn't get upgraded to Sreifa because he would have already been chayv chenek for her from before. That's what Rabbi Yossi means. So the Gemara asks, well, you have to ask, so why, if she was his mother-in-law, and then she became an Eishes Ish, Nidin B'chamoise, we're saying he gets judged only for the fact that she's Chamoise, that she's his mother-in-law. The question is, Lidin Namiya Isu Eishes Ish, why isn't he also judged for the point of an Eishes Ish? Now, obviously, as the Gemara is going to go on to point out, he can't be killed twice. So Rav Ada Ba'ava's question is as far as a korban. Suppose that it was b'shoyig.
You don't give him a punishment?
What?
You don't give him a
car? No, you can't give it. You have to fool Mrs. Basin, no more than
that. Why not say
so? That's the question. Rav Ada Ba'ava is asking, yes, he's according to Rav Yossi, if she was his mother-in-law first, and then after he married her daughter, then she herself married, and then he was mezana with her, Rav Yossi says he's getting Sreifa. But why isn't Rabbi Yossi also saying that there should be? Why are we ignoring the fact that she's an Eishes Ish? Now, as the Gemara is going to point out, it can't be that he's killed twice. He's only going to get one Mister or the other. So Rabbi Ada Ba'ava's question really is about a korban. The question is, if it was b'shogeg, why? It sounds like Rabbi Yossi is saying nidin b'zikar rishonah shabbos olav. It's a shabbos olav. It sounds like Rabbi Yossi is not accepting the whole concept of isur chalal isur. Well, why not? As far as Mrs. Bastin, sure, you can't give him two Mrs. Bastin. But it sounds like the Yossi is saying, even as far as a korban, he'd be chayav only in the one korban. So why is that?
What's the difference if she was Eishes before?
Listen. If she was, what Rabbi Yossi is saying, which one was she also to him first? Mm-hmm. Was she also to him first because she's a married woman? Well, then in that case, now he marries her daughter. So now Rabbi Yossi is saying, even though as his mother-in-law there would be Sreifa, but nevertheless, since already to begin with she was also to him as an Eishes Ish, then we stick with that, and he's chayav only chenek. And the other way around, Rabbi Yossi would say, if he married her daughter, and therefore now she's also to him as his mother-in-law, and therefore there's Sreifa, even though later on she marries and now becomes an Eishes Ish, and now there's Chenek, nevertheless you stick with Sreifa because that's what came first. Rabbi Yossi is saying you always go according to whichever issue came first. Rabbi Ada Ba'ava's question then is, that's fine as far as Mrs. Bastian, but it sounds like Rabbi Ada Ba'ava it sounds like Rabbi Yossi is talking about also as far as a korban. Why shouldn't, as far as a korban at least, why shouldn't we say that Eishes Ish factors in as well? There's a sugya in Masechta Yevamos that talks about this whole matter of Isu Chalal Isu. When you have something that's already also on one grounds, is it possible for it to become Is also on another grounds as well? So there's a concept called Ein Isur Chalal Isur. We often say that not. But we have, there are exceptions to it. So now there's a machlokas there in Yevamos whether in general Isur Chalal Isur or only in some cases. So Rabbi Bohu explains over there that even though Rabbi Yossi holds that generally Ein Isur Chalal Isur, nevertheless, Moide Rabbi Yossi be Isur Moisif. Rabbi Yossi would agree when the second Isur adds something that didn't exist before. Either Rashi says it could mean that that there's a new dimension of the Isser about her, or it means that it's assuring her to somebody that she wasn't also in the first place. So let's look at this case over here. He married when she was an almana. She was an almana. At that point, she's mutter to anybody to marry. Now he marries her daughter. Now she becomes also to him because she's his mother-in-law. Now, though, but she's still mutter to anybody else. Now, when she becomes an HSI, she's also to anybody else. That's an Isser Moisif. So why doesn't Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi agrees, says Rabbi Ohu, that by an Isser Moisif, you do factor that in. So in other words, once she's also on new grounds to somebody else, then also she becomes again also to him on new grounds as well. So that being the case, then, at least we should say that according to Rabbi Yossi, both factors have to be considered. Both the fact that she's an HSI and the fact that she's his mother-in-law. So why is Rabbi Yossi saying that you only look at the first Isser and they only look at the first Isser and ignore the second one? One answers, Omalei, so the Rava answers that Adabri, my son Adai, means it's my son, as in like my Talmud, betray Katli Katla Slay. Are you trying to kill him with two deaths? You have no choice. You have to give him one or the other. So Rabbi Yossi would say, when is Isser Chalal Isser? When you're talking about as far as a korban, you want to say that he should be chay of two korbanos. He did it b'shoygig, then yes, you have a valid argument. But in fact, that's what Rava is saying. In other words, your point is that he should be chayev twice. Well, obviously you can't be asking as far as misa. Necessarily you're asking as far as a korban. Fine, Rabbi Yossi will agree on the basis of what Rabbi Bohu said about Isser Moisif. He will agree that he would taka be chayev two chatois in that case. When she was an almana, when he married her daughter, and later on she became an Eishes Ish. Even though as far as Misa, Eishes Ish is less than mother-in-law, but in terms of Isser Moisif, it's greater because it has a bigger scope. It makes her also to anybody else except for her husband. So therefore, yes, in fact, we would say, Rabbi Yossi would say Isser Chalal Isser there, and he would be bringing two chatois.
But he didn't say that in the Gemara.
No, he didn't say it explicitly, which is why Rava understood him to mean that he's talking about Misa. And he asked him, well, what do you want from the guy? You can't give him two Misas. So that's Tosfos spells out, in other words, that he's asking as far as a korban. Actually, Tosfos points out there could even be a case of mazin involved over here. What if, for example, so she's both, she's an Eishes Ish and she's his mother-in-law, what if they only gave her Asra because she's an Eishes Ish? What if the Edom, let's say, didn't know that this is his mother-in-law, but they told him she is an Eishes Ish, and you're going to be Chayev, and you're going to be Chayev Chenek for that. So the question would be then, why? So now, according to Rabbi Yossi, Nidin Beziko Rishonish Abbas Olav, which means, in other words, Rabbi Yossi would be saying that in this case, maybe he should be potter entirely, because after all, they didn't give him for Ziko Rishonah, because first she was his mother-in-law, and they didn't, the Hasra they gave him, basically, Rabbi Yossi would say, is for the wrong one. So Rava is answering him that we're talking about when it's been made, that Rabbi Yossi is talking about in the Mishnah, when it's been mazed and they gave him both hasras. So then that's what Rabbi Yossi says, that you only do the first one because you can't very well kill him with both of them. In other words, the implication of what Tosfos seems to be saying is that Rava is telling Rav Adaba Abba two things. As far as a korban, yes, Rabbi Yossi will agree that he has to bring both, that he has to bring two chatois. But also, as far as the mazin, if they gave him it doesn't matter which one they gave him asura for, Rabbi Yossi will say, if they only gave him asura for one, you're giving him only the one. Because the fact is, you can't let him get swap scot-free for it. Only if they give, and after all, both these surim do apply. And then one of them is Moisif on the other. Only if they gave Masra for both of them, then Rabbi Yossi is going to say, Nidin Mezikah Rishayna, meaning, in other words, in our scenario, he's going to get to, in our scenario, he's going to say that he's going to say that the guy gets Chenek, for example, if she was an Eishes Ish first, even though as his mother-in-law, there's also Sreifa involved, because Eishes Ish came first in that scenario. Mishnah says, Misha Lok of Ashana. If somebody got Malkus, and then got Malkus for the same, and then got Malkus again, we're going to see in the Gemara what we're talking about, what the scenario is. Based in Machnissen Oysel Kippa, based in at this point, puts him into a kippa, which we're going to say a small, very narrow room, Machilin Oysel Sa'odin, and they give him barley to eat, after creating his bakas until the stomach bursts open. So in other words, they don't kill him outright, but nevertheless, they cause him to be killed, as we're going to learn in the Gemara. This is halacha l'moshe Sinai that you do such things. So Rashi explains we're talking about he got malchus for two different averus, but we're going to see in the Gemara it's not necessarily that. So the Gemara asks, Mishum the Lokar Rishonim based in Kohen Sinosa the Kip. By the way, the Bala Turin mentions an interesting point. You know, the same way, kind of as you find by the Makas, Moshe would come to Pare and warn him of Makas Dam and Sfardea, but then already he didn't listen to those two. Then Makas Kinim comes without warning, the same way over here, and the same way with the next, with each sequence of Makas, the same way over here. He's already got Malkas twice, and he still keeps on doing Averis, so therefore at this point we put him in the Kippah. So, the Gemara asks, Mishum the Lokar Rishonim based in Kohen Sinosa the Kippah. What does that mean? Because he did two Averis that get him Chayav Malkas, that therefore you already put him in the Kippah? In other words, there has to be, you know, the Ran explains the point of the question is like this. Yes, we're going to say that this is Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai. But even Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai, there has to be some kind of remez for this concept someplace. It's not just out of the blue. So what's the logic behind this Halacha L'Moshe M'Sinai? So the answer is Omer B'Yumi, Omer B'Shem and Lokish, Hocha B'Malkus, Yor Krisus Askinen. First of all, we're talking about, it's not just regular Malkus. There are 200 or so Averis for which a person, 207 that I'm on list, that a person can be Chayav Malkus for. Out of those, you have about 30 or 40, you have 30 some or 40 some of them that involve Kores. Any of the ones that are chmissus based in there can also be Kores if there's no Edim Rasra. In addition, there are a bunch of things that are Chayav Kores without Missus based in.
Right.
So what
about Arayas?
So Arayas are all in that category, for example. Every single one of the Arayas is Chayav Kores. Some of them, if there's Edim Rasra, there's Missus based in. Some of them not, the maximum is Kores. But all of them, if he doesn't, all of them, there can be Malkus for them instead. The Mishnah tells us in Malkus that when a person who's high of Kores and gets Malkus, then he's potter from Kores now. But now we're talking about that he was given Malkus for things that should be high of Kores. So therefore, the Gavra Baktolo, now at this point, this person should already be high of Misa B'dei Shemayim because of the Averis that he did. The Kuruvi who de la Mikra of Ktole, all it is that his death is not coming close yet. A person who's Chayav Kores usually gets Kores, usually only dies when he's 50 or 60 years old. There's different Gemaras that talk about what the age is when a person is Chayav Kores. The Bavli says 60, I think the Rishami says 50. Yeah, the Alter Rebbe talks about it in the Geras HaTshuva in Tanya, that nowadays we see people are Chayav Kores and they live much longer, and he explains that there's a difference between Zman HaGolos and Zman Shabbos and Mikdash HaYakayim. But anyway, the point is, in other words, so now the guy is in his 20s or 30s or what have you, so he's a long way from actually dying from Kores yet. The kiven to come avato lanafshe, but because he's acting in such a careless way with his life, he's doing again and again things that are high of Kores, then basically all we're doing is bringing his death closer. So therefore we put him in the kippah, and he ends up dying over there. So in other words, fundamentally it is halacha l'moshe m'sinai, but basically we're saying there's a logic behind it. Yeah. However, the Gemara says, Omelet of Yaakov, the Rabbi Yumi about Tachlifa, Ta Asbaralach. So Rabbi Yaakov says to Rabbi Yumi about Tachlifa, come, let me explain to you. We're not just talking about that it's Malkus of Kores, like we said. Meaning, in other words, we're not talking about, let's say, for example, that he did Averis that are only Chayav Malkus and nothing else. So let's say, for example, doing Lesachsim Shor B'Dishoy again and again, which is a classic example of something that's high of Malkus. We're not going to put him in the keeper for that no matter how many times he does it. We'll just keep on giving him Pech as many times as necessary. So again, we're talking about where there's Kores involved. But not only that, Rabbi Yaakov says, not only the Malkus Shor Kores, it has to be Malkus Shor Kores Ahas. It has to be that's the same Avera again and again, that he does it two times. So two times he gets Malkus, and the third time already, instead of Malkus, we're putting him in the keeper. But if he's doing different Averis each time, then all that means he wants to taste of different Isurim. So it doesn't mean that he's being so careless with his life. Yeah, you can't say to the extent that he's forfeiting his life to the extent that we should already put him in the kippah. So then he'll go through all the Isurim, and eventually he'll use them up, and eventually he'll get an idea what each of them is. Isn't
he? Only
he only does one at a time, basically. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So the Mishnah had continued. Misha Loka Vashana. So we said that if he does the Isser again and again, then they put him in the Kippah. Now, you have the famous Machloikas in other places in Shas, that how many times does something need to happen for there to be a Chazakah? There's Machloikas Rebbe and his father, Reb Shimon Gamliel. Rebbe holds that two times is already considered enough to make a Chazakah. Reb Shimon Gamliel holds you need three times. Now, now in the Mishnah, we said, Mishalok of Hashana, he did the Aveda only twice. And now we're saying the third time already, then we're putting him in the Kippah. So the Gemara says, Shana afagav dele shilish. So we're saying he did it twice, but he didn't do it three times. Lema masnisin, beloikir of Shimon Gamliel. Does that mean that our Mishnah is not like Shimon Gamliel? He says that it takes three times to make a chazakah. So that being the case, then it should be required that he gets malchus three times, and only the fourth time do we put him in the kippah. So the answer is, and in general, a stam Mishnah, Rebbe composed the Mishnah. It's easy enough for the Gemara to say that our Mishnah is only according to Rebbe. But in general, throughout Shas, we try to say that a stam Mishnah is according to everybody. The whole point is a stam Mishnah means that it represents the opinion of all the Chachamim, so therefore we would prefer that it taka follows the opinion of all the Chachamim. So the answer is Amar Avina, Afilu Tamer, Reb Shimon Gamliel. No, you could even say our Mishnah goes like Reb Shimon Gamliel. Chasava Averis Machzikus. He holds that it's the Averis that caused the Chazaka, meaning, in other words, so consider. In other words, so he's already Bechezka Sirosha. So in other words, the fact that you gave Masra, it's not the number of times he got Malkus, it's the number of times he did the Avera. So now already he did the Avera once, and they warned him, and that's why he got Malkus. They warned him a second time, he also. Now he did the Avera a third time, and they warned him. That's already reason enough to say that he should be chayav malchus. Tosfos actually discusses the question first of all whether he need hasra for the kippah? Do you need to give hasra? If you do this again, you're going to wind up in the kippah. So Tosfos discusses the point that you don't, because in order for him to be high of the kippah, again, it's meaning that he's doing again and again. Now, if we give him the warning about the kippah, then that's no good. We have to give him a warning for Malkus, because after all, it's the third time that they warned him of Malkus, that instead we're going to substitute the kippah. And if they can't tell him both, they can't tell him you're going to be high of Malkus and the kippah, because it's one or the other. They're not doing both of them. So therefore, so in short, Tosfos is saying they don't actually warn him, they don't tell him in so many words, you're going to wind up in the kippah if you do this again, but Beis Din is going to do that. Tosfos also has a different explanation of this. Averis Machzikus we'll talk about soon. Averis Machzikus. The fact that he did the Avera three times, that itself creates the Chazaka already. We don't require that he got three times Malkus already. It's enough that he did the Avera three times with Asra, and therefore that's already enough that we can do the Kippah even according to Reb Shimon Gamliel. The Gemara says Mesi. I have a contradiction to that though. A Braisa says Over Avera Sheyeshva Malkus. A person did an Avera that he's Chayav Malkus, and we said before not just any Malkus, but Malkus of Kores, like we said before. Pam Rishono Shnei Malkinoi. So the first or second time this happens, they give him Malkus. Or Shlishis Kontinoi Selakipa. The third time already, if he does this the third time, then they put him in the Kippah. Abasholim after Shlishis Malkinoi. So Abashol says even the third time they give him Malkus, they give him one more chance. But Revius Kontinoi Selakipa. And the fourth time they put him in the Kippah. So where does Abashol get that from? My love to Kula Alma Malkus Machzikus. Shouldn't we assume that both Tanoim in this Braisa hold that it's the Malkius that create the Chazaka? How many times did he get Malkus? Or with Plugta, the Rebbe, Reb Shimon Gamliel, Kamifagi? And then the Machlokas is exactly that of Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel. So the Tanakama would say he's already gotten Malkus twice. That already creates a Chazaka, as Rebbe says. And therefore, the third time already, instead of Malkus, we're giving him Kippah. And Abba Shaul would say that no, you need three times Malkus for him to be Muchzak as a Rosha, and therefore for him to be getting Kippah after that. So in that case, then, how can you say that Reb Shimon Gamliel holds Averas Machzikus, that the Chazaka is created by the three times Avera, when it seems from this Braisa, in other words, obviously Abashol is a Tana, he could argue with Rebbe and he could argue with Reb Shimon Gamliel, but the Gemara does not like to invent Machloikas in out of thin air. So we don't find anywhere else where Abashol says that you should need four times to make a Chazaka. We never find any Tana who says that. Therefore, if he's saying that only the fourth time you put him in the Kippah, the only way to understand that would be he holds a Reb Shimon Gamliel that he needs three, but he's holding. It's not the number of times he did the Aveda that makes the Chazaka, it's the number of times he did Malkus, that he got Malkus. Well then, how does that fit with our explanation of Reb Shimon Gamliel before, that it's the number of times he did the Aveda? So the answer is that's exactly that. Lo, the Kula Alma is through Reb Shimon Gamliel. Both Tanoim, both the Tanakama and Abashol in this Braisa may hold like Reb Shimon Gamliel. That's exactly the Machlokas. The Mar Sava Averis Machzikas, or Mar Sava Malkius Machzikas. The Machlokas is, what makes the Chazaka? the three times that he did the Avera, or the three times that he got Malkus. Reb Abba Shol is going to say, you need three times that he got Malkus for us to have a Chazaka now that he's a Rasha, and that he was Masker his life, a Mevater and Nafshei, like we said before, and that therefore we can put him in the Kippah. So in other words, so that's what Rashi explains, in other words, that Abba Shol is basically saying, until he gets three Malkus, then we don't have a Chazaka. Once we have, now, on the other hand, we can't, after giving him the third Malkus, also put him in the Kippah, because we can't give him two punishments for the one thing. So therefore, we have to wait until he does it a fourth time, says Abba Shol, and then we can put him in the Kippah. Tosfos has a different explanation of Malkus Machazkus. What it means is, in other words, you see that they've already given him Malkus a couple of times, and he's still doing it again, so Abba Shol takes the view then that if we say Malkus Machzikus, then it means, in other words, that once he's done that again and again, and the Malkus has not held him back, then at this point we know that's it, he's incorrigible, there's no correcting him, and at that point, Malkus Machzikus, then we know already, we have a Chazaka, that he's not going to listen to any Malkus, and therefore now we have to do the more drastic thing of putting him in the Kippah.
But for Hasra, he will have to do it before, he will have to get it before he does it.
So Tosfos explains, right, that each time they still have to give Masra for Malkus. They never actually give Masra and say, you're going to go into the Kippah. But nevertheless, he already did it the fourth time. Then the Malkus, in other words, the fact that he got Malkus all these times and he's still not changing his ways, shows therefore that he's incorrigible, and at that point, then we just put him in the Kippah. The Binyan Shloimeh explains that even according to Rashi, we don't mean, in other words, that it's the actual Malkus itself that makes the Chazaka. He explains Rashi in a somewhat similar vein to Tosfos, that once we do, he did a real Hasra, and he should be Chayav Malkus, and he's obviously not caring, so he knows he's going to get Malkus, and nevertheless he does it, so therefore already he's Muchzak as a Rosha, and therefore already we can put him in the Kippah.
Instead of the third Malkus?
Abba Shol would still say that you need the third Malkus before you can put him in the Kippah. All we're doing is we're saying, the Tanakhama would say that already instead of the third Malkus, you can put him in the Kippah. Mm-hmm. Abba Shol is saying the fourth time.
Machlokes
Rashi and Tosfos is, when we say Malkus Machzikos, does that mean we need three times Malkus in order for there to be a Chazaka, or does it mean that we need to see that again and again he's not listening to the fact that he's getting Malkus, and nevertheless he's still doing it. So the Binyan Shloimeh explains Rashi somewhat along, it seems that he explains Rashi somewhat along the same lines as Tosfos. We don't necessarily, it's not that we need a third time Malkus to create the Chazaka, but we need the Chazaka is that we see he's doing this again and again, and the third time, therefore, we can't already do Kippah. The third time we still have to do Malkus, and then the fourth time, then according to Abba Shol, then we can do Kippah. Okay. What about the Braisa continues? The Gemara continues. V'hodetanya. Now, what about this that it says in a Braisa? Histru boi v'shosak. If they gave him Asra, and he was quiet. Now, we learned earlier in the Masechta that to accept the Asra means he says, I hear what you're saying, and I'm going to do it anyway. Afa pikein. So now he doesn't say anything.
Part, no?
No, forget about the Hebrew tone. When Hasra is even the first time, when a person does an Avera, and we say that there needs to be Hasra for him to be Chayiv Misa or Malkus, the Hasra means that they tell him, you should know, if you do this, you're going to be Chayiv Misa, you're going to be Chayiv Malkus, and he says, Alpha PK, and he says, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway.
Isn't
you don't force him if he says that, then he says that.
He nods, and then you say...
Ah, so nodding, that's what we're going to talk about over here. But that's one of the things we're going to talk about.
Even though I don't care,
No. The actual acceptance of Hasra, he says, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway.
That's
the actual Hasra, right? Yeah. But now what we're saying is, history by the Shosak. What if he didn't answer back? What if he just quiet? History by the Hirkin Roshay. Or what happens if he nods his head? Pam Rishonu Shnia Masrin Bay. So the first and second time we give him Hasra. But we give him Hasra, but we can't actually punish him because he didn't accept Hasra. Shlishis Konsinos of the Kippah, the third time we already put him in the Kippah. Because he's doing this again and again. So therefore, so at this point we put him in the Kippah. Abba Shol, I'm after Shlishis Mastering Boat. Abba Shol says, even the third time you give him Hasra and you don't punish him yet. But Rabbi is Konsinos of the Kippah. B'chosam malchus leka. Now the point is, unlike in the previous machlokas, where each time you were giving him malchus, and then you can talk about what makes the chazaka, the repeated avera, or the repeated malchus, or the repeated threat of malchus, or whatever, but here you don't have anything of that. Here you don't have any actual malchus. So b'maikam mifzagi, what is the underlying machlokas then between Abashol and the Chachamim? The answer is, that's the machlokas. Does putting him into the kippah require a hasrah? So does it have to be that at some point they're going to tell him, if you keep on doing this, you're going to go in the kippah? So the Tanakhama holds, once he's had already three hasrahs, three times they told him he's going to get malchus, and he didn't pay attention, even though they didn't actually give him malchus, because each time he didn't accept the hasrah, nevertheless at this point we can put him into the kippah without any further hasrah. Abishol says that in order for that, you need three hasaros for malchus, not just two. So in other words, so there you do have it, the machlokas of the Tanakam, of Reb Shimon Gamliel and Rebbe, where Rebbe says two times is enough, and Reb Shimon Gamliel says three. So the Tanakam of this last price is going to hold like Rebbe, two times is enough. Therefore, he did this twice already, and the third time, you don't even need to give him, you gave him hasra. He didn't answer, then at that point, put him in the kippah. Abishol says that you're going to have to, you need to be able to give him hasra. You need to tell him, you're going to go in the kippah if you do this the next time, and therefore for that you need to, give him hasra. Because after all, each previous time they only gave him hasra for malchus, and here's where Tosfos says, and I'm an aleph, that yeah, you can't to begin with give him hasra for both kippah and malchus, because the fact is it's going to be either one or the other, and you can't give him hasra for two different punishments. Okay. Umay kippah, what exactly is this kippah? I'm going to be able to Maloy Kai Masai. It's a building that's only his height. There's no room in there. There's no room for him to exercise, but also there's no room for him to lay down over there. So he's just going to have to stand the whole time. Yeah. What did they do to the
building? He wasn't just standing.
Not that I know. I don't know.
Dark place.
I don't know if it's dark or not, it doesn't say. Yeah. So the Hecher Remiza, where is there a remez to such a concept? Again, we said it's halacha l'moshe v'sinai, but still, where is there a remez for such a kind of punishment? Because again, fine, halacha l'moshe v'sinai, really, classically, halacha l'moshe v'sinai, there is no remez for it in Torah Shabbat, but nevertheless, fine, at least someplace else. In Tanakh, there should be a remez, there should be a remez for such a concept. Amar Shlokish, as the pasuk says, to Moses Rosha Ra'a. The Rosha is killed by his Rishus. So in other words, he already has a Chazaka of being a Rosha, let his Ra'a, let his evil kill him. So therefore we see that somebody who already has a Chazaka of being a Rosha deserves to die, and therefore what we're doing over here is we're putting him in a situation where eventually he dies over there. That's how Rashi understands it. Marsha says that's a little bit of a doichik, and he explains differently. That, again, what we're going to say is, we said in the Mishnah, and we're going to explain further, that they starve him, and then they give him barley, so that he ends up dying over there. So therefore, so now the Ra, similar to the Gemara, is going to go on to mention another example of Ra, something which hurts the Gemara is going to give an example of a fish hook, which hurts the fish as it enters it, the same way. Here you're talking about a kind of Misa, which hurts him as it's happening. So in other words, unlike the other Mrs. Basin, we said they try to get it over with as quickly as possible, Brola, Missy Yaffa, and all of that, he was saying on the contrary, to Moses, Rosh Ra, let him be killed and suffer from his Ra for a while. So the Omer Shlokish, my dichtiv, he was another pasuk that relates to this. So the Shlokish says, what does the pasuk mean? Ki gam lo yedah ha'odem esito. A person never knows his time, how long he has to live. Kadogim shenei chozim im tzoida ra, like fish that get trapped in a bad mitzoida. And the pasuk goes on to continue that the same way, in other words, that people, that all of a sudden a disaster happens to a person and he wasn't expecting it. So what do you mean mitzoida ra, as opposed to what other kind of mitzoida? So my mitzvah ra, Amar Shlokish zuchaka. This refers to a fish hook. So Rashi explains, in other words, it's a little tiny thing, but you can catch a very big fish with it. So in other words, unlike, for example, a net where you push it, overpowering the fish with something big and a strategy and whatever, here you just put a fish hook in the water, and all of a sudden a fish comes and gets caught on it, even a big fish. So, in other words, the point is, so therefore it's like something unexpected. a net, for example, in other words, you have the fish see the net in the water. In principle, they could swim around it, but they don't, and they wind up getting trapped in it. But here, all of a sudden, a fish goes in there, and the fish doesn't even realize, and it ends up in it. That's according to Rashi. There are other explanations. There were other explanations as well. The Yad Ramah gives an explanation, basically, that the fish hook itself hurts him as it goes in, and therefore the pasuk calls him mitzoda ra. In other words, as opposed to other kinds of things which happen to the fish in on a chitzoniastic way, he would goes right in. And Marshall actually says something similar, that it goes right into his flesh and it hurts him right there, as opposed to for example net. So the Maharal explains on this. In other words, you can have what Shlomo is saying over here. You know, you have a person who dies a natural death, so it's not so bad. But then you have, for example, a person who's captured, let's say, and killed in captivity. Like for example, you still have the people in Gaza who are still there. They should have Rachmanos on them. So that's Mitzvah Raw. That's what we're saying. So the point is, this is how it's done then. And the idea is, in other words, with this case and with the cases, in the next Mishnah, the idea is you can't outright kill him, because after all, he's not strictly speaking Chayim Mrs. Thastin, but nevertheless, we can cause sort of a Derech Groma that he dies, which is going to be this whole procedure over here. So the Mishnah continues. Ha'hodig nefesh shloi be'edim. A person kills without edim. Now, if there's no edim at all, it can't be. So the Gemara is going to explain what we mean. Machnis inoisa l'kippah. Then the same thing. We put him in the kippah. Machil inoisa lechem sar. Mayim lochatz. And we give him a bare amount of bread and a bare amount of water to sustain him in there. Same kind of thing. It was the same kippah. This is specifically if he kills. We don't do this for other aveiros the first time because again, you know, there was no edim or there's no asuras. The Gemara is going to work out the details exactly. But ritzicha is such a serious thing. It breaks down society, and the pasuk makes such a big deal. So therefore, specifically by ritzeah, we do this kind of thing that we don't do to anybody else. So the Gemara says Minoya Dinan. Well, there's no Adam. How do we know he killed him in the first place? So Rav says the first answer would be we're talking about where it's separated Adus. Meaning, in other words, it has to be, as we're going to learn in Masech and Makas, Master Hashem, that the two Adams see each other. So you can have, let's say, for example, two guys down in the courtyard. Two people are watching him from different windows in the building. Each one can't see the other, but both of them can see him. By dinin mominus, such a thing would work. By dinin nefashis, especially, we learn from Psukim that it doesn't work. But nevertheless, in this case, we still are going to impose punishment on him because, after all, it would have been good edus, except for gzeres hakosev that doesn't work in dinin nefashis. And nevertheless, we're still saying that we can do this.
And the
master
is in between both, and
you can have it. The master is in between and connects them. Yeah, we're not talking about that. When there's a master between them, when there's one person who sees both of them, and they give him, and he gives a master, then yeah, he kind of combines them together, and then what does become one agus. We're talking about over here.
What's the punishment? What's the
head? We're talking about he killed somebody. Okay. So that's one answer. Or Shmuel Amar Shaloi Bahasra. Shmuel says another answer is you're talking about there was no Hasra. So they did see him do it, but they didn't give him Hasra. So again, no misaspastin, but instead, because he's a Ritzeach, and because he's breaking down the foundations of society more than any other kind of Balavera, then therefore they can do this kind of extreme thing to him. But now, by the way, the Yad Ramah learns that these dinim about Kippah is all Medirabonon. Most other Rishonim learn like this. The Gemara had never said that's halacha moshe misinai. Rashi had explained it's halacha moshe misinai. The Orach HaNer in fact explains when the Gemara had asked before, just because he did the Aveda many times, should he execute him? And we said that mishum delocha b'shana based in koins neisa l'kippa. And we said we're talking about because he's mafkir his life. So that's the Orach HaNer explains that the Gemara may be going according to that once if it's drabbanon, then how did the chacham come up with such a thing? And therefore we said we have a concept. We have a remez for it in the Torah. The Ran himself actually gives a different explanation, that the question is basically that That we're saying here, we have these various kinds of extrajudicial killing. We're going to have the next examples in the Mishnah of Kanoyin Poygenboy. So where do we have this concept that where do we have a so yeah, it is halachah Mishnah we see now, but nevertheless, still the question still is that okay, when it comes to the Ritzeach, fine, we understand the pasuk again makes such a big deal that so we can't let him get away on technicalities. But the question is in all the other cases. So Rav said we're talking about Edus Miyachedus, Shmuel said Shalai Basra. No, these are each different cases. The halacha is like all of them. The Rambam, when he passes on these halachas, brings all the answers that the Gemara is reviewing over here. All of them are valid reasons. The guy was a Ritzeach, but there was Edus Miyachedus, or they didn't give Masra, or what Rav Chista is going to say, then each of those cases, it's still they can still put him in the kippah. So Rav Chista Amar Avimi, another case could be where the Edim contradicted one another in Bidikos, but not Hakiris. As we learned earlier in the Masechta, you have two sets of questions they ask the Edim. You have Hakiris, which are the questions to establish the date and the date and time and place of the event. And then you have Bidikos. Those are absolutely necessary, and those we actually there are seven of them we learn from Pesukim. And if the Edim contradict one another on them, or if even one of the Edim says I don't know, then we throw out the whole Edus. Then we have Bidikos, which are they ask the various other circumstantial things. What color clothes were they wearing? For example, we had an example over there that the Gemara is going to bring where Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai, when he was a junior member of the Sanhedrin, asked, you said that Pliny killed Pliny under a fig tree, were the stems of the figs thin or thick? It's a difference. So if they, the point is, if the Edom contradict one another on those, then also we toss out the Edus. But on the other hand, if one or both of the Edom say, we don't know, we didn't pay attention to those kinds of inconsequential details, then the Edus still stands.
This is quiet.
Same thing. So that's the point. Rav Chista is telling us in the name of Avimi. So you could be talking about both Edim agree as far as what year of the Yovel and the year of the Shemitah and the month and the day and the hour and so on and so on, the time and all of that. Those things are needed in order to be Mazim them. Without that, you don't have an Edus. But then when Beis Din asks them, so what color shirt was the Ritzeach wearing? And one of them says black, one of them says white. So that is reason to throw out the Edus and not give him Mrs. Beis Din. However, Rav Chista is telling us that could still be, it's still valid to put him in the kippah. Because after all, we do have valid Edus that he killed. They just, they contradicted one another on something that prevents us from doing Mrs. Beis Din. But it doesn't prevent us from doing this extrajudicial punishment of kippah. So Kiditanan, as for example, we learned earlier in the Masechta, Maiso Bodek Ben Zakkai Be'uktetayinim, that one time Ben Zakkai, which the Gemara explained there, was actually Rabbi Yechon Ben Zakkai, before he got Smicha, one time investigated the Edim, interrogated the Edim about the stems of the figs. Later on, he was the Rabban Shal Kol Yisrael. He was even the Nasi, according to some opinions, but in any way, at least he was acting Nasi for a while. But the Gemara explains in this Mishnah, he's called Ben Zakkai because when this happened, he was still one of the junior members of the Sanhedrin, and he was actually one of the Talmidim, where he said something in Beis Din, and therefore they temporarily put him up on the bench with the members of the Sanhedrin, as we learned earlier in the Masechta that they do that. See ya. Okay, the point is, in other words, again, so bedikas like that are not essential to the validity of the Edus, but it's reason enough for us to prevent that we can't do Mrs. Beis Din, but nevertheless, if not, it doesn't prevent us from doing kippah. Okay. We said, we give him a bare amount of bread and a bare amount of water. So we might ask, in this Mishnah, we're saying that we do that. Whereas in the previous Mishnah, we said we give him barley to eat until his stomach splits open. So which is it? It's both. Each Mishnah is telling us one part of the punishment. In both cases, we give him a bare amount of bread and a bare amount of water. Until the stomach shrinks from the small amount of food, the hodemach and then we give him barley to eat after kreisimis makas until the stomach splits open. So it's a two part process. It's a two part process, and again the idea is we can't outright give him Mrs. Beis Din, but we do it as kind of like a more indirect thing like that. In other words, the idea is The idea is basically, you know, on the one hand, we want him to suffer. We said to Moses, Rosh Hara. On the other hand, we don't want him to partially starve to death. So then that's why we do it like this. So therefore we do Grama, but we also try to accomplish it in a way where it'll happen relatively soon rather than letting him starve there, which might take even longer. So the next Mishnah, which we'll take up tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue talking about these cases of extrajudicial punishments. So far, we've been talking about punishments that Beis Din does. Either the Dalad Misses Beis Din, or at least the Kippah is also put in there by Beis Din. Now we'll learn next. The next one will be about Hanoyim Poigim. We're going to have the famous thing with Zimri and Cosby. It's going to feature tomorrow, especially. But yeah, we'll talk about all that, Be'ez Hashem.